If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I saw the sign. It opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. Yeah.
What grade were we
in? Greatest song I've ever
seen. What grade were we in?
What?
When that happened?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Oh, that was junior high for me.
Yeah.
Is that right, Jim?
That was junior high for me.
I can't remember. I can't picture
You had to be junior high. Yeah, I was probably like seventh grade.
Okay.
Oh, really? I was like a freshman year.
Guys, remember this. This is the sphere of honesty. There's no lying in here, okay? Raise your hand if you liked Ace of Base.
I remember playing that song.
Me and Adam. Me and Adam are half high. We're pretty, yeah, we like that kind of weird stuff. It's funny. Someone told me the other day, because I listen to all kinds of music, okay? There's music I work out to, and there's music I do cardio to. I got my cardio music on. I'm training my client, who's he's gay, good guy, love him to death. And he's listening to my music, and I got my music I train clients to, and he's like, he goes, you like gay music.
It's pretty funny when a gay guy said that to you.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
He's
like,
he called you out.
He's like, it's gay music. I said, listen, don't fucking put your stamp on shit. Okay, it's like you guys already
don't own, mushroom stamp.
You guys
this.
Already own the rainbow. Like now, nobody can fucking like rainbows.
A lot. I like the rainbow.
This music is fine. It's not gay. And he's like, yes, it is. So he walks over to my phone. I'm not making this shit up right now. There's this one song. I can't remember what the name of it is, but I got the song. I didn't get the album. I got the song because you listen to the song. You're like, this is a sick dance song, right? The album it comes on. Not making this up. It's got a picture of a dude in a cowboy hat, no shirt on, and it says coming out.
And that's what you were listening.
He went over, and now it just so happened to be that song. And he's like, "Really?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Damn it,
that says a lot."
So you like secretly like
I am gay except for the dick part. I'm not cool with that.
I've seen like a lot of glitter on you,
huh?
Sometimes I wondered about that.
It's because I have a 6-year-old daughter.
Glitter wearer,
huh?
Glitter wearer.
You know what's funny? What just came to me right now? This is crazy. So I've learned a lot from listening to you, Adam. Things to do, things not to do. And you put me in this this interesting train of thought. I bet you if you went to like a pool party or something like that and you had glitter on and you're a dude and you were good looking and everything, I bet that would work.
Well, it's not a bad tactic.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
not like a ton of glitter, but like strategically placed glitter, I bet would work.
Like, what is that?
You know what I'm saying?
It's my disco ball.
Yes, it's...
Disco.
You know, it's
yeah, put glitter on your nuts. Yeah.
It's definitely a decent theory. We would have to put that to test though, because I haven't tried that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime I get caught with glitter on me, I get like the 10th.
Well, that's a strip club.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Girls asking you like, why do you have glitter on your face?
Exactly. You're like, honey, I was riding my unicorn earlier.
Duh.
Hello.
Duh.
Just when Sal couldn't get gayer.
Oh yeah.
Talks about unicorns. Yeah. Me and Adam worked out in the same gym today.
In the same gym. Yeah. You know what, though?
We don't ever usually work out together.
Can I just tell you how excited... Justin, did you tell Justin about what's going on at Burnell? Burnell didn't
tell me shit. You didn't even text me all day. I was upset.
The Burnell Gold. You know, come on. He's hanging out with me sometimes.
You guys are behind on the Marco Polo. I'm on the... I think I did the last two Marco Polos. I said, Margo.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah, yeah. You guys are behind on that.
So Burnell is putting in, what, four?
Oh, no, six, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Six platforms with rubber plates.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Olympic. And they're going to let you like drop the weights?
Yes, dude.
Now, no. I'm not saying this because I have a massive ego.
Gently, you know, squat it down like crickets.
No, I'm going to drop that shit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this because I have a big ego, but I think Mind Pump is the reason why they did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do. You know why I'm saying that?
We'll claim it.
We've been getting tagged a lot on Instagram on like muscle, you know, building like sites and stuff, talking about like gut flora and inflammation and fasting for muscle, and people are tagging us and they're like, Mind Pump said it first. So now I'm getting a big head. You know
I love it.
Like we're the ones driving it.
Well, we did kind of call it like a year ago, you know, that hey, listen, the stuff that we talk about is going to watch it start to slowly make its way into the fitness industry. They have to. You can't deny it now. Mm-hmm. There's too much. You can't deny it. Yeah, you can't.
There's too much.
That's very good right there, actually.
Yeah.
There's too much science coming out on it, man. You know, which reminds me of something that I want to talk about today. I don't know why that reminded me of it, but I've noticed this, and I don't know if it's just because it's January or whatever, but I catch these the people working out, got people, and when I say people, I'm talking about people that I know that work out, and I watch and kind of pay attention to, you know, their program that they do, and it always seems to be the same, somewhat, or just with different maybe machines mixed in. And there's a handful of things that that stand out to me that I'm floored by. Which one? And we mentioned this a little bit the other day. You know, if you're gonna do splits, which I sometimes do a split because I'm bored, whatever like that. So I get it.
I do them when I try and be Jean-Claude.
Yeah, right.
When I try to lose muscle, that's when I do them. Anyway.
Well, there's certain movements that just should not be in your program, and I see all this like poor program design, and I want to walk up and ask everybody, but it's not my style to do that. But I'm dying to know, like, who gave that to you? Who told you that's a good way to
muscle infection,
right?
Bro.
I don't know, man.
It's what a great topic, because right now people are listening and they're thinking, oh, you mean just the exercises you pick. That is, programming, what we're talking about right now is programming.
Right,
okay?
Which is different. That's the problem. There's a difference between picking different exercises every day and actually designing a program.
Right, so programming, think of a programming computer. The ones and zeros are exercises and weight. How you put them together is your program. That's what makes the program work. This is how programming is for fitness, and this is where the expertise comes into play. This is the complicated part.
Yeah.
The rest of it's actually pretty basic, but the putting it together aspect of it is very complex, and that's where you get a lot of that's where experienced people with lots of knowledge can put together something with the same exercises as something else, but it'd be extremely effective. It's all about the programming. And if you look at the things that you can manipulate to change or develop programming, the exercises that you do is like one tiny line.
Yeah.
That's actually a very small part of it. There's a lot of other shit that goes underneath it when it comes to putting something together.
Yeah, they all affect each other. I mean, to me, it reminds me a lot of like a really good recipe. You know, that everybody, there's good places now to look online where you see like allrecipes.com or something like that, where everybody like puts a rating for it. But the thing is, like, it really... all the ingredients are there, but it's all in the measures and the amounts and the way you mix it. And, you know, all these contributing factors, how, you know, how long it's in the oven, like blah, blah, blah. Same thing with fitness and programming. I mean, it really just depends on the fitness professional that's putting it together to make sure that they've accounted for all these variables and how they interact with each other.
Right. And I think
that's a great analogy, actually.
It's an excellent
analogy. That's a great analogy, because I'm thinking, in my head right now, I'm thinking of, like, you know, some people can just bake the shit out of a cake. Mm-hmm. And so everybody knows it's eggs, flour, sugar, right? Basic, right?
Some people have flat cakes.
But like exactly. That. Flat ass cakes, shitty tasting cakes, chalky cakes. Like, yeah. It's not that simple. There's a way to put everything together. There's a way to mix it. That's a great analogy, because it is that way. The problem is people think it is as simple as just baking a cake, which here's the recipe. Here's the things that you're supposed to use. And so they just start putting it all together. And you know what? When you're done like that, if you just put eggs, flour, sugar, everything together and you throw it in the oven, it's going to turn out somewhat like a cake. You know, it'll be kind of like that.
Well, most programs I see, they have the fucking eggshell in there. They have the box of flour with the flour. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That's literally the difference.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. Okay, first of all, there's a lot of factors that go into programming. Exercise is only one of them. How many reps you do, how you perform the reps, the intent of the repetitions, the order of the exercises, the order of the exercises on a week scale, on a month scale, and on a tri-month scale. Right. The amount of weight that you lift. I don't know if I said that one already. Rest periods. I mean,
I was going to say how fatigued you are after you go through this process.
So many factors and things that you can manipulate and put together. It's mind-blowing, but that's what makes an effective routine. The exercises are just the exercises are part of it, but that's the most basic. Like, everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. It's everything else that's difficult. Let me give you an example. So, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, programming, like CrossFit programming and programs like that, where they take different aspects of fitness and they try and combine them all at once. When you understand how the human body adapts, you understand that you can't program that way. You can't program exercises that way. Like, if I want to give you more endurance and I want to give you more explosive power, what I'm not going to do is have you do, you know, Olympic lifts and then do long distance run and come back and do more Olympic lifts and then do another long distance run. Because we're not getting what we want. All we're doing is getting endurance.
You're just in survival mode, really.
Right? Yeah. The way you would do that, the programming aspect of it, is I would have specific workouts where you're just focused on power and we're not trying to get fatigued.
Yeah.
Then we would have specific workouts where we're focusing on endurance. It's not only measurable, but the body works. It adapts and works that way.
Yeah.
And in order to get the body to do what it wants, you have to understand how it reacts and adapts. If we had unlimited, you know, recovery ability, unlimited ability for our bodies to, you know, change and accrue damage, then it would be easy. I would just literally take everything I want, put it all in 1 6-hour workout and do it every single day.
Yeah.
And I'd be a machine.
Well, this is the big problem that I had with running boot camps. You know, I ran boot camps for many years all over the Bay Area. And the part that I had such a hard time, now for a trainer, it was a great business move, right? I could get all these people into one class or one group and charge them a very minimal monthly rate. And I only got to spend an hour training them, and I can do 20 to 50 people at one time and make a lot of money. So financially and business wise, it's like this great move. And a lot of trainers kind of evolve that way. You start off with, like, you know, private sessions, and you realize, hey, if I start grouping all these people together, you know, maybe it's a good idea business wise. But it would just eat away at me inside, because I'm looking at all these people and I'm like, man, maybe 3 or 5 of these people, this fits what I'm just doing right now really well, you know, for what their goals are and what we're doing today. And then I look at all the rest of it, I'm like, God, I should be doing this with him. She should be doing this. And you just can't quite do that. I don't care how great of a trainer are. You can't take a group setting and you can't implement all these ideal, you know, modalities for each individual person based off of their goals. And that's where, for me, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do it anymore, regardless of the money and stuff like that. I said, I can't. It's driving me nuts, because it's not good programming. And I feel like people decide, this is a great topic for January too. I'm thinking about this because you have so many people right now that are rushing to the gym or wherever it is that they're going to get their fitness on, and they all kind of have this like vague goal. And I feel like establishing your goal is the first step. You got to really understand your goal.
Well, you can't write a program for something you don't know what your goal is. How can you possibly do that?
And I think the reason why so many of these like group classes and CrossFits and boot camps and type of mentality are successful is because a lot of people are unsure of that. You know, right. They don't know how to define their goal. They just say, I want to get in shape.
Well, I just have to get to the gym.
Yeah, and I want to get in shape. And that's the argument, is that, well, yeah, you could run a boot camp, you could run cross, and you can get in shape. But most people, if they really were to dissect their goals, most people have more specific goals than just getting in shape. They have a part of their body they want to focus on, or they want to look a certain shape, or they want to look a certain way, or they want to perform a certain way. And when you have specific goals like that, that's where the program design becomes so important. And all these group type of training classes, that's the part that's why there will never, ever, 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 ever be group training that will ever trump, you know, individualized.
I tell you what, when it comes to, you know, being a personal trainer, good trainers, they understand biomechanics, they understand proper form and technique, they understand muscle recruitment patterns, they understand how to correct, you know, imbalances. That's a good trainer. The best trainers know that, and they also understand specific programming.
Yeah.
Specific programming is a very... It's much more rare than a great trainer who knows how to, for example, correct muscle imbalances. And that's already rare. You know, it's already difficult to find walk in a gym, pick one random person and, you know, have them be able to do a proper assessment, correct imbalances and you know, understand muscle recruitment patterns. That's already relatively rare. But to find one that understands proper programming is very difficult, because their idea of programming usually is this group of exercises works this muscle group, this group of exercises works this muscle group, and so on. And then they just say, well, we're going to work this muscle, I'm going to pick from this category of exercises.
Options, yeah.
Right. They don't understand.
Well,
they don't understand the rest of it.
That reminds me of a post that we just commented on recently, where somebody talked about, you know, hip thrust being a worthless exercise, you know, And I got the angle they were coming from because they're, you know, some girl is showing it to, you know, work your butt. And we all know that, you know, deadlifting or squatting is by far superior for working the butt or training, building the butt than some simple hip thrust. But, you know, I utilize that a lot with clients that have a really hard time engaging their butt because they're so quad dominant. They have a hard time getting that posterior chain involved. And so it's a great movement like that for the whole mind-muscle connection concept.
It's good. End of range of motion resistance. You get to squeeze the glutes. Boom, I can feel them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I'll sometimes use that to pre-exhaust somebody's glutes before they go into squats so they've got that they know where they're supposed to feel it when they get into their squats. That's a type of program design. That's a time where, and that's why it's hard to say if you saw a trainer doing that for you, be like, oh, I can't believe he's doing that with her. Well, you don't know what the fuck I'm doing. How do you know that? My client has no idea how to activate their glutes, and they're constantly pushing off with their quads and the ball of their feet when they're actually doing their squats.
Well, programming is the reason why MAPS Anabolic has been so successful. This is why people are seeing ridiculous results doing it, is because of the programming. Because the exercises in there, they're not like new and invented exercises. It's because it's very specific and targeted.
The formula.
And if they think, and check this out, you know, we have a lot of people now enrolled in the program. If you think that's the programming in that was amazing, you just wait till you see what's coming.
Oh yeah.
I feel like this is like when Steve Jobs unveiled
the iPhone
or something like that. Right. Like the engineering basically that went into it.
You saw the Mac computer. It's cool. It's cool. The iPhone is the shit.
Change everything, right?
Now you can do this.
But yeah, the when it comes to good programming, the way you feel is so different. Like if you just work out, you're new, it's January, you just started going to the gym, and you work out in a group class or you do it on your own, you're probably aiming to feel fatigued, tired, exhausted, and sore. So you're probably leaving and saying, oh, fuck, man. Yeah. That was such a hard workout. That was a good workout because a lot of people will take...
And I'm going to get sore everywhere.
Yeah, people take hard and they think that's good. Like, oh my God, I can barely walk. I just started my workout. It's going to be so awesome. That's incorrect. That's not what you should aim for. Good programming, you should actually feel good and energized after the workout and the day after the workout. A little bit of soreness will be there, probably. But you'll feel good. Like, you'll know right away, like, wow, I feel really good.
Yeah, like charged.
We actually had someone make a comment about that exact same thing. And this was a young lady on the forum who was following the program. And she
was all confused because she didn't feel killed. Like, dude, it didn't kill her.
She's experienced. She's been working out for a while. She lifts weights. She knows, so she kind of knows what she's doing. She did the program. She goes on the forum after the first workout and goes, she goes, I'm a little confused. She's like, I'm hoping I did this right. But, you know, I don't really feel like it was that hard.
I feel like I could have done more.
I feel like I could have done more. Right, uh-huh. You know, I felt a lot of energy afterwards. So, you know, because she's like, I'm not wasted. And so, of course, everybody on the forum's like, no, just chill out, wait, see what happens, whatever. Second weekend, PR. She PR'd on I think, two exercises of all time. Like, lifted more than she'd ever lift before. Second week. So it just goes to show.
So many times she was like the same story.
13 years, I think she's 13 or 15 years she's been lifting. A long time. Yeah, a long time she's been lifting.
Yeah, proper programming is extremely rare, but you know when you have it.
Well, and too, like, I think a lot of people think that they need to add some sort of conditioning element. If they're trying to strength train, you know, they feel they need to cut rest periods. You know, they got to make it harder and more intense by doing that. But what are you really training your body to adapt to at that point? I mean, you're taking away from the process of trying to work on these strength training exercises. Now you're trying to you're flooding the system, telling it now we got to adapt to, you know, conditioning, endurance elements, and now I have all that sort of convoluting everything.
Right, because if you were going to do conditioning, you would do it in its own phase.
That's it.
You would do it targeted with proper programming.
Yeah, unless that's the goal. The target is muscle conditioning.
Right,
right.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if that's your goal, then you have specific and targeted programming for that particular goal. That's the way you got to look at it when you're designing your workout, or when you're looking at your workout. You want to think what your goals are, and then you want to take your goals and you want to break them down into smaller goals, and take those goals and break them into smaller goals, and then specifically target those small goals. Because if you hit those goals individually, if you focus on individual, you know, parts of adaptation with the body, then you're going to get the big picture. Everything's going to come together. And that's the best way to put things together.
Well, yeah, I bring that up just because I know, like, it's not just CrossFit. It's like, it's curves. It's a lot of these things they do the circuits, and, you know, it's great. And initially your body's adapted to this new thing, but then that's what it is from then on out. And then people get really frustrated because, you know, nothing's changing.
Well, I had a guy come up to me in class recently at Orange Theory, and he tells me, he says, man, Adam, I've been doing this for like a year and I don't get it. Like I'm freaking balls to the wall when I'm in here. I come consistently 4 or 5 times a week. I eat pretty good and stuff like that. And, you know, I want to look like you. How do I look like you? And I said, well, dude, do you ever see me in here? I don't train that way. You could probably kick my ass up and down this floor in here. I mean, if I got on that rower with you, I got on that treadmill, I got on those, you would smoke me. But that's not my goal. My goal isn't to say I'm the best at Orange Theory. My goal was to look a certain way. And of course, performance matters and flexibility and things like that and being functional. But ultimately, I'm trying to build a physique. I'm trying to look a certain way. So my program is
very specific.
Yeah, very specific. It's nothing like maybe there's a handful of these movements that you do and I do, but I perform them completely different. You guys do that in this circuit manner where you're trying to burn as many calories and it's all endurance and stamina type based, where, you know, my workouts are, you know, and depending on where I'm in my program, strength based or power based or hypertrophy based, it's always changing, and it's always changing based off of what my goals are aesthetically, since that's how I'm driven aesthetically. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind, but you can't beat yourself up either. I mean, you're busting out. You're great at this class, but if your goals were different, then, you know, then you probably should visit that.
If you want to promote change, you got to do something different. I mean, it's a pretty logical thing to think about.
Right.
But there's very specific, you know, like, so the adaptation process, right? You know, we usually like to think of it as more of a 3 to 4, maybe 5 week process. So allow yourself to adapt to that. And then, you know, right before you get to that point where the plateau happens, like, you're changing it up and keeping it fresh.
And when you do it that way, you also have the added benefit of not getting bored.
Yeah.
Well, let's,
you know, because you're focused on a specific target and a specific goal. Like, I'm focusing on the next 3 weeks on, you know, maximal strength, or okay, the next 3 weeks I'm focusing on, you know, explosive power or whatever. You are you're training for a specific goal. You're seeing numbers move. You're seeing yourself progress. It's very targeted, very specific. Then you switch to something else, ask different demands upon the body, but train with with targeted programming and watch your body change again. And then you go through, you know, 4 or 5 of these. These targeted, you know, programs, and then you can cycle back around.
Yeah.
And you know what ends up happening? Each time you do that, it's like a stepladder. It's like a stepladder each time. It's almost, I used to call this the principle of perpetual progress. Okay, PPP. Yeah. The reason why I didn't trademark that, because it's kind of hard to say 3 times fast, but now, of course, you're not going to progress perpetually. That's impossible. I wish it were possible. However, many of us, including those of us who've been training for, you know, a decade or longer, who really know what we're doing, there's still more that we can get out of our bodies. There's always a little bit that you can kind of squeeze out. And I've never met anybody, or I've met very few people, that have really met their genetic potential, because there's a lot of limiting factors. And one of them is programming. It just is.
It's probably one of the biggest. Let's be honest. I want to elaborate a little bit on what Justin said, because I think it's an important topic inside of this topic. Which is, you know, finding that sweet spot of adaption and plateau, you know. And, you know, to me, that's what we're searching for. We're always trying to get to the point where you feel the body adapt and kind of figure it out, but not to the point where it's figured out so well that you're not seeing any progress or change anymore. So that's not that easy.
Yeah,
that's not just as simple as saying, okay, well then, how many weeks should
I do this?
Especially
once you get good at it, you know, you don't want to switch over as you started to figure it out.
That, to me, that is the biggest point to make, is we all liked, and I've said this before, we all love to do exercises that we're good at. And the ones that we're not good at, that we're focusing on, the goal is to get better at it, right? And then the hardest thing to do, but the best thing to do, is right as you are starting to get good at it, is to transition out of it. Because that's what's happened, is the body is now becoming adapted. So you are getting some new muscle that you've built, and you're getting used to this movement. And just before it gets to the point where the body is no longer responding or growing or changing from it, you're on to the next. And tough to do.
One flag for me, or one alert for me, is when I'm training and I hit a PR. If I hit a PR in a lift, and that's because I'm really performance oriented, but when I hit a PR, I know immediately that the following week is going to be changed. My program is going to be changed. Mm-hmm. My target will be changed because if I continue to push for more and more PRs, if I get excited like, oh, I lifted more than I ever have before.
People get hurt.
Then either you hurt yourself or you plateau or you go backwards. I'll end up going backwards. I've done it millions of times.
That's what I do.
I'll hit a new deadlift record for myself. And, you know, I said this a million times. I train people better than I train myself because inside my brain I have, you know, ego and stupid. So I go in and I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go for it again. I feel good. I know I could break it by 5 pounds. I don't. I either hit the same weight or less. And then the following week, I'm weaker.
Well,
because I overdid it.
Let's be honest. When you say that, we're all like that because we're always flirting with the boundaries. When you're training a client, you kind of know the rules, and regardless of what they want to do, you're right. Directing it. And so you know, like, you know, I'm sure they might have been able to get away with another week or two doing that, but I know it's best for us to transition. Ourselves, you're always flirting with those boundaries. And I don't know how many times I've done exactly what you just said is I hit a PR and then I'm like, oh, I just want to try one more
time.
Like,
I know I could do more.
That came up so easy. I want to do it one more time. And then what ends up happening is, you know, the second or third time that I made that attempt after I hit that PR, now I'm doing 30 to 50 pounds less on that and I'm seeing myself regress. And a lot of it's due to just the little bit of overtraining that way or inflammation that I got going on. My body needs to deload and I need to go the other direction. But
you need to change the program.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do that.
How about when clients are sick and they're like, hey, should I work out today? I kind of feel like I'm... And I'll be like, no, you need to rest. Give your body time. Never do I fucking do that.
Yeah.
Every time, man. I'm like, I'm feeling kind of sick. And my client's like, you should probably not work out. And I'll be like, I probably shouldn't. But in my mind, I know when you leave, I'm going to take some caffeine. I'm going to fucking get at it.
Dude. That's why, like, I mean, nurses, doctors, they're the worst patients.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've all said that. Yeah. My wife says it all the time, and she's the worst patient. Oh my gosh,
there isn't a single time I didn't tweak something in my body where it wasn't I couldn't have prevented it. It wasn't like I'm like, oh my god, out of nowhere. It's always like, boom, fuck, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
I know. Yeah, it's like every time. You know exactly what's going down.
I also feel like that's also worst. What makes us good trainers too, though, because we're always pushing those boundaries. So to give us that feedback, so that makes us better with our people.
We got to try it out.
Well, yeah, right.
We hurt ourselves. So we know this
is the we know this is the rule of thumb here, but maybe I'm an exception. Let me see. Yeah. Nope, I'm not.
No. Yeah, you know, this here's an example.
Rules apply.
Something just popped in my head with poor programming. I saw someone do this at the gym the other day. They were doing barbell squats. And then in between barbell squats...
Deadlifting.
No. That would be horrible too. But in between barbell squats, so they do the squats, then they'd immediately go and do planks or some other core exercise. So they're obviously feeling like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, instead of resting, I'm going to work my core because that's a weakness.
Yeah. So I'm resting while I'm doing my core.
That is horrible. Yeah. Horrible programming. And I am waving my finger in the air. You can't see it, but I'm doing this weird thing right now.
Now,
that's a very easy example for me to explain. That's why I picked it. Because there's much more, you know.
There's lots of them.
There's lots of examples that are much, much, much harder, much more subtle. That's an easy one because you don't want to fatigue your core when you're doing a barbell squat.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you could possibly do.
Even if you're wearing a belt, it's still a bad idea.
They'd be like, honey, I want you to take all the air out of the front left tire, and I'm not going to wear my seatbelt to go as fast as possible because that's a good combination of things to do. It's almost like that. Like, you don't combine squats and some kind of core exercise in between.
Well, I was just,
but that's an example.
Just like the deadlifting, squatting and then deadlifting is a bad idea, too.
I know.
Because and let's explain that.
I do that all the time.
Those muscles are so, the first lift, the squat is such a big compound gross movement.
Super demanding, super
very
exhausting.
Very demanding. And let's be honest, the transverse abdominis is the support system for that. So for you to turn around and do an exercise like a plank, like you said, or another deadlift that's going to fatigue that foundation and then turn right back around and then go right back into a squat.
You think you're
going
to have awesome performance going into that?
And even if you could do it. To me, it's like, okay, well, then you would be able to do it that much better and probably even progress more or be able to lift heavier weight had you not been super set at that. So what are you really getting out of doing that other exercise with it?
And here's a little bit of the nuance of programming, okay? You typically don't want to combine squats and deadlifts on the same day, typically. If you do, there's a specific way to do it, but definitely not together, like one after the other. But check this out. Squatting and then going to deadlifting, bad programming. Deadlifting and then going to squatting, worse programming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just to give you an example, same combination of exercises, but doing one before the other is even worse than doing the other before
that's a,
the other.
That's a great example. Yeah. If you were going to do a deadlift and a squat, you squat first and then you deadlift first.
Right, because the last thing you want to do is really fatigue that lumbar spine.
I know.
And then go squat.
It's like when guys do back and buys as a combination for their split, and then they're going over there and doing all kinds of bicep curls, and then you're going to go over and do like a row or
they do the biceps first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's an easy one too, but that's exactly
it
right.
It is, but you see that all the time, right? You see people doing that, and it's like, no.
Establishing that movement and that recruitment, and then you take that into the row and you're trying to recruit. Yeah.
And that's how you have a hard time engaging what you're supposed to, because you've already fried the secondary muscles that are starting that movement, and now they can't even fire correctly.
You know what I love right now? It's like our listeners are becoming so ridiculously informed. Like,
they're in tune to our minds.
They're becoming informed way more than the typical fitness consumer needs to be informed. They don't need all this information.
That's why they're all going to be badass, bro.
But here's the thing. I know this. Right now, some of them listening right now are looking at their program or looking at a popular fitness celebrity's program and going,
breaking it down.
Yeah, and they're going, oh, yeah, shit. Like, all he's doing,
wait a minute.
All they're doing is giving me a bunch of leg exercises.
A deadlift and then a squat.
Yeah.
Like, right there.
Yeah, or all they're doing is giving me a bunch of chest exercises. I don't understand. What's the programming? Why is that order? Why is that exercise order so important? What's the tempo? What's the rest?
Sideline chest press, bro, and then you get into the fly right after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom.
Yeah, we're gonna make a bunch of asshole fans. Just going, 17-year-old kid going on that, no, some fitness celebrities thing, like, your programming sucks.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. At the end of the day,
you're a loser.
I did this post. You guys saw this on the forum, and it was just happened to be on my mind recently. I did two posts the other night, right? I did the one about the epidemic that's in the bodybuilding industry right now. It's extremely popular right now for this to happen. Guy gets involved in body, guy or girl, bikini and athlete. They get involved. And their coach, they hire a coach, like 99% of them all have coaches. They hire a coach, they get some generic program.
Doesn't always mean a trainer, am I correct?
Oh, well, that's where I'm going here.
Okay.
It's like 9 times out of 10, not a trainer.
Okay. You know?
So it's just a coach. And this coach, you know, their experience is they're a pro, or they, you know, have been competing for a long time, or their uncle or brother did or whatever. And they hand these programs out. And then this person goes and gets in phenomenal shape, goes and wins the show and looks great. And then now everyone's asking them for information. And they see this opportunity like, wow, I wasn't really into being a personal trainer, but shit, I got all these people asking.
Now I'm going to be a coach.
Now I'm going to be a coach. And I'll just basically show them and teach them what I learned
them my carbon copy.
Dude,
program,
it is like
bro.
This. It is ridiculous to me. And I love when I run into somebody who's got some coach, you know, and then they go, and they show me what they're doing, and I'm like, well, how come you're doing that? Like, oh, I don't know. He just told me this is what I have to do from this week to this week. And then, well, why though? I mean, what did you tell him your goals are, or what you're trying to do, or what do they see that's wrong with you? Why would we do that? Like, I don't know. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what he had me do, and that's what I saw so-and-so, and they got in great shape doing that. I'm like, oh my dude, it's ridiculous.
Bro, it's like the forum. I think she weighed 130, 140 pounds. She got some coaching from some fitness person. I don't want to say their name. And he sent her a carbon copy workout and told her to eat, you know, what she should eat.
250?
It was like 240 grams of protein.
Something like that. Ugh, it's ridiculous.
For 130 pound, I think she's 130 pound shape. I don't eat that much protein.
I know.
You saw the other post I did on the forum, right, with the whole salad, right? Some key things with that. So I got teased the first time. So I went and talked to a bunch of coaches in the area before I decided to do this. I thought, well, okay, just because I'm a personal trainer, I have all this experience, I've never competed, so I'm going to search out what I would have thought were experts in the field. And things just didn't seem really fishy to me when I started asking like nutrition and program design type questions. I'm like, well, that's okay. And I'm one day insult, and I'm not going to put anybody on blast on this radio show right now. But what I will tell you, I remember when I told him that he was asking, well, what are you going to eat? And I was kind of going through my meal plan, this, and then, you know, then I normally go here and I get this salad and I put this in. You eat a salad, dude? You eat salads?
Yeah. There's like, no macros in a salad. What a waste.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing that for, dude? And I'm like, well,
there's no protein in a salad.
Whoever this is, that was a great impression. I don't know how this is. Dude.
You need to
own that.
They did it just like that, bro, and made fun of me.
I love
and
it.
And the best is I didn't fire back or talk shit. I just kind of took it and thought to myself, like, whoa, this is really bad. I just got made fun of for doing something really healthy. And
yeah, you just got punked.
Yeah,
got punked.
Yeah, and I happened to be with them or the coach and, you know, three or four of their athletes, and they all kind of laughed and chuckled. chuckled at me, and I was like, oh, wow, these guys are all idiots. Like, nobody really understands. Like, there's a whole other side to this other than just getting hella shredded and lean. Like, yeah. Just super ripped. Like, how about the health benefits of what why I would eat something like that?
You know, it's
health.
Yeah. Is that a bicep or something? Is that like a bicep?
Dork.
So, yeah. It's funny. You called them all idiots. I have a friend of mine who listens to the show, and she's a huge fan. She's been listening now. She's listened almost every episode now. And she's like, sometimes you guys sound a little arrogant. And ladies and gentlemen, now I'm going to get serious. We're not calling people idiots because we're arrogant. We're calling people idiots because they're idiots. There's a lot of fucking idiots in the social media fitness world, in the coach fitness world.
Unfortunately, true, everybody.
And listen, I don't mean they're idiots because they don't know fitness. No, because that would make them ignorant. They're idiots because they're actually really stupid too. Like, there's not a lot of shit that they know, and these people shouldn't design anything, let alone a fitness.
And they'll
program.
Defend their idiocy.
It's scary to me. Frightening.
I'm glad you brought that up because there has been a couple people that have said that we come off that way a little bit.
Oh, you heard a couple people too.
You know, I've heard someone say that. And here's the thing: like, if we talk that way about something, because you will not hear me. There's a lot of people that, you know, they get a lot of learning to do and they're on their journey of being a better trainer. You will never hear me talk about that, especially when they're in the process of growing and learning and they meet somebody like the gentlemen that are in the room with me and they actually ask questions and they listen to Mind Pump and they're trying to grow and that, like, I'm not going to punk. What I am going to punk, so if you punk me about something that I know a lot more than you do about and you don't know that, then I'm going to call you an idiot and that's when you hear us.
That's literally what happens.
And that's exactly.
It's the only time that we come across that way.
It's the only time I would ever refer to someone as an idiot is if I have been insulted by somebody who doesn't realize.
Fact checking.
Yeah, I know a shit ton more about what you are making fun of me about right now, and you have no idea. You have no idea that I know that. And that's the situation I'm talking about right now, is that I would draw circles around these guys with program design and nutrition, and then they're making fun of me because I'm telling them how I eat, and I'm thinking, whoa. Yeah. This is a fucking problem because we're talking to somebody right now who's got hundreds of people underneath them.
And is not seeking new information.
Yeah, like, whoa. Dude, like, oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I'll stop eating salads. Hey, I'll talk to you guys later. See ya. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go on Mind Pump and call these guys idiots now. And that's how that plays out. It's not, you know, it's literally not like we just go around and we pick, in which, back again, and this will be the fourth time I've said this on Mind Pump, we are not out here to go pick on all these people.
No,
we get tagged all the time on social media.
We like the tags because we look at them, we talk about it, but we're not trying to bully anybody.
No, and there's a lot, and it's becoming more popular right now.
It seems like a little bit of a trend.
It is. In fact, I don't even know what it means, right? Calling out potatoes, they call them potatoes.
So potato,
what is that?
Yeah, potato is internet slang for retarded.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah.
Is that really what it means?
Like potato, retarded. Yeah.
I'm not going to use that.
Okay, yeah. So I see, that just shows
you. I'll just say retarded.
I don't even
know. Yeah, it's better.
Well, so that's
somehow it's better.
Potatoes, so PC. Fuck that.
There's a big trend right now going around on people doing that, and you know, to each their own. If that he or she is making
I'm
a
Irish.
Business out of doing that, and let's be honest, what that reminds me of, it reminds me of like Jerry Springer. You know, they're in the business of finding drama, finding a bunch of rednecks that live in a trailer and beat each other and then putting it on television and then doing this stuff, or finding all these little nuances in these programs and people are doing all this bullshit with photoshopping and then punking them and making this big old, you know, drama.
You know what, though? It is a little bit of a check and balance, though. Part of me doesn't like it because of the bullying, and part of me's like, you know what? There needs to be a check and balance.
Well,
let them hash it out. We'll watch.
This is where I'm heading with this. Is I'm not gonna. I would not talk down to that person either. I think that's okay.
That's just not us, though.
Yeah, it's not what we're.
That's
about.
Not our cause.
It is exactly. Yeah, we are not here to call people idiots. We're not here to punk people. And if we do come off that way, let me tell you, it's justified. If I call someone an idiot, it's not because I'm butthurt or they hurt my feelings.
No.
It's like,
no, it's the challenge.
No, they're stupid. If I call you stupid, you're stupid. Yeah. That's just it. It's not an arrogant thing.
If CrossFit decided, hey, we're going to eliminate like these flaws that like, you know, we've brought up multiple times and like they institute that, I'm going to be the first supporter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's hard for me to say.
Oh, I agree.
But
Sal and I went to a CrossFit box today.
Yeah. We didn't work out.
We're not friends anymore.
No, we didn't work out in there.
We didn't work out.
our good friend Ronnie.
Yes.
Owns.
Oh,
the
you
place.
Went to Ronnie?
Yeah. We went to Ronnie's.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we went.
And
to
how's he, dude?
And let me tell you something. As much shit as we talk about CrossFit, Ronnie is a good trainer.
Dude, he was always a good trainer.
He's a
though,
great
going
trainer,
into it.
Knows yeah. it. No, he's just a good trainer. Knows yeah. the shit. We would love to have him on the show. And I'm talking about it here, so he gets a little pressure. We're gonna send this episode to him. Because he's a smart dude, knows his shit. He's charismatic. I think it'd be fun
of
to
course.
Have on and
yeah.
talk
yeah,
shit and,
awesome.
And poke at. It'd be fun to poke at him on
yeah,
the show.
It would.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not like we're not that like, that way. And I feel like I have heard from a few people. I think it's important that we address that and we point.
Well,
it
it's
out
the to- checks and balances. This is the thing. Like, I don't like bullying, but these are people that are influencing lots of people. Some of these pages have millions of followers. There's lots of kids following this advice. Some of it's borderline dangerous. A lot of it's just wasted your time, you know, fitness advice. You know, they're selling. I got tagged on a fucking cream the other day that you rub on for the pump because, it, you know, rub it on your bicep for a better bicep pump. And, you know, someone tagged me. He's like, oh, you know, check this out. What do you think? And I'm like, it's, you know, I had to say, like, it's fucking bullshit. Yeah. There has to be some
garbage.
Checks and balances because people are wasting their money and potentially getting injured or sick, like yeah. the girl who, you know, was eating 240 grams of protein a day. That's okay with me. It's okay with those checks and balances because there are none. They got away with it for too fucking long.
Yeah.
And now it's time. I yeah. think now the internet's going to start hitting them back a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me. So,
don't get our cocks confused with cocky.
That's right. That's true.
Ooh, I like that.
And with that, please subscribe to Mind Pump. Leave us a 5-star rating.
And your gut in the butt thing.
And a review.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.